This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. My name is Franziska Easley, and I'm joined today by one of my dear friends, Shauna Brooke. In this episode, we discuss Twitter advertising for business, and Shauna shares how you can use Twitter to drive traffic to your website. Also, the different types of audiences that you can target to get a higher return on your investment. And also a ton of Twitter hacks that I think will make you very happy. If you enjoy this episode, make sure you also share it with one of your friends. Or even better, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, that would be super amazing. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Hey, Shauna, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem. Happy to be here.
You are awesome because I know for you it's already evening over in South Florida. Where are you exactly? 2 hours from
Miami? We're in Fort Lauderdale. I'm like an hour north of Miami. We're close to the international airport.
Yes, and that's why you are such a travel girl because you obviously have to go past the airport.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, Shauna, you are one of my favorite people to talk to when it comes to paid traffic. And you and your husband, Justin, you've built an amazing business teaching people different strategies to buy media. Now, Twitter is one of those tools that you guys use very effectively to drive traffic. So I thought there's no better person in the universe that I can talk to share some strategies with our audience today.
Thanks. That's an awesome introduction. I appreciate it.
And also for our listeners, Shauna has also given me some really hot tips in the past. So I'm really excited to have you here. So let's dig straight in because Twitter, you know, in Australia, and our audience is all over the world, but we definitely have a lot of Australians listening since we are half our headquarters here. And Twitter in Australia hasn't taken off hugely, and hasn't had a huge growth spurt in the last few years. What is your take on who should be using Twitter and why do you love it?
Okay, so Twitter actually isn't a very popular ad network, even here in the States. It's just, it's hard to explain. When it first came on, it had really high click costs, and people weren't really sure how to monetize a high click cost. And so they really got turned off really fast, whereas like on Facebook, you can get 10-cent, 50-cent clicks pretty regularly, but it's kind of hard with Twitter because their click costs tend to be a little bit higher. But there are workarounds with that, you know, because I know your campaigns are doing much, much lower now. And that's sort of what scared people off in the beginning. But with Twitter, what I like about them is how good the targeting is. So their targeting is different from Facebook in the sense that with Facebook, you can have a page or you can have an interest or like even your audiences. But with Twitter, you can have audiences also. But with Twitter, you can get so specific as to target just the @ username, which is not something you can do anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And so that's what makes it so perfect. You can combine, okay, so I know my competitors are these five handfuls, you know, and I can put them all into one campaign and run all of my ads to my competitors' audiences. Twitter.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit more about targeting as we go. And now just for our listeners too, obviously Twitter is a platform like a social network like Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram. And just like all of these platforms too, what Shauna is talking about, you can also now run paid ads on Twitter, which has been out for a few years. It came after Facebook, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. After Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's still quite new. Like they don't have a lot of the advanced settings that Facebook has because Facebook has grown so quickly, but they do have a lot of fun, cool features. So
yeah, and I remember even last year I had a Twitter person from Singapore who was helping me with all the campaigns because I guess they wanted more advertisers to spend money on their platform. So this woman spent so much time with me setting up campaigns. It was incredible. Now they stopped that because they have more advertisers obviously already on the platform. So for our listeners, who do you think, what type of businesses? We have all sorts of businesses that are listening to the show. You know, it's from bricks and mortar businesses to online, e-commerce, any type of across all industries really. Who do you think would really, really benefit from Twitter advertising, from spending money on Twitter?
I think it's really good for B2B, and I think it's really good to get in front of your influencers in your market. So I'll try to explain a little further. So a lot of people that are on Twitter use it as a broadcasting tool. You know, most people have the automation set up whenever something posts to my blog, share it here. Mm-hmm. You know, news websites, whenever a new news site is trending, they're posting their content there. They're updating people. So you have to think of the mindset of your audience that's going to be on there. They're not on there browsing sort of like Facebook where they're getting social in the sense of, oh, this is what I ate for dinner, or, oh, this is where I'm traveling to next. They're using Twitter more as a broadcast tool. And so other companies that you want to get a hold of are on there because they're broadcasting. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I might not use them for a local pizza shop, but I might use it if I was business to business or a SaaS company or even a service that helps corporations or larger corporations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those businesses sort of B2B and people that probably, I think even probably e-commerce businesses that can reach a wider audience.
Yes. If you can do mass advertising, there's still a feed there that would work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then what sort of, because of course, like on Facebook, there are different types of campaigns that you can run. It could be just to try and get more followers. It could be to get an opt-in. It could be to potentially make a small sale. What are sort of the most common campaigns that you see work on Twitter?
Okay, so definitely building a following is important, because if you can have an audience of people, that's sort of like an unlimited audience you can continue to market to. It's sort of like an email list, right?
Yeah.
For the same reason you have a Facebook page with subscribers, you would still want to do that on Twitter, because that audience is already raising their hand saying, hey, I'm interested in this topic. So then when you post or run ads to that audience, you're likely to get a higher increase because they've already liked you. So that's definitely one. We like to use it a lot for advertising our content. Because it is such a good broadcast tool, we can, you know, publish a blog post on our article and just get larger reach with those blog posts. And we've even gone far as, you know, publishing content on Medium and sharing the Medium article on Twitter. And so it sort of looks not like I'm raising my hand, like, come read my stuff, come read my stuff. It's like a broadcast tool of, hey, you know, this is out there now, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. come learn this. And so that's what I would do, is I'm using it for content. I'm using it for growing my list. And then I'm using it for putting my content in front of my competitors. And normally I'm not trying to get leads right there inside of Twitter. I'm trying to get them back to my site. Because if I can get them back to my site, I can custom audience them across the web, not yeah. just necessarily in Twitter.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the different types of campaigns could definitely be to build a following. And the reason why, mm-hmm. same with Facebook, you know, people go, and I go too, I go, well, if you have 20,000 fans, that means nothing. You can't go to the shop and say, I want to buy some bread with my 20,000 fans. However,
right.
you now have an audience to market to. And we've proven
right.
this over and over again, just with a recent experiment we did with Ocean Lovers, one of our brands, where we didn't even have a product yet, but we built a community of, I think right now it's at probably about 22,000-23,000 fans on Facebook. So when we launched our first product, a surf suit, people were interested immediately. So you build a following, same on Twitter.
Yeah, you do the exact same thing on Twitter. You mm-hmm. you definitely want to have the same audience over there. And then once you have that audience, it'll get more reach, because those followers will see your post and like it or share it or retweet it, I guess, and not share it, if I'm using the Twitter terminology.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And then the second type of campaign. So first is get more followers. Second, do content marketing campaigns where you produce really, really good content. And that's what you guys certainly do, Shauna. You create content that is really valuable. It's not just put together in 2 seconds. It's actually
yeah, it's
really
not fluff.
Through.
It has to be actionable.
No,
right.
Exactly. And your stuff is so valuable. And so you create content, and then to get it to more people, you create campaigns in Twitter to reach more people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so the content campaign is really, because most people that are, the mindset of people that are on Twitter is that it's a broadcast tool. So they're on there to get a feed of information. It's similar to like if you're browsing, you know, the Wall Street Journal, you're not looking for something specific. You're mm-hmm. sort of just browsing to see mm-hmm. what's trending on the Wall Street Journal, you know, and it's very similar inside of Twitter. And so when you're posting content to there and they see that in their feed, they're expecting that in their feed.
Yeah.
You know, and so then it piques their interest because it's a topic they're interested in. And you know that because your targeting in your campaign is fitting to that person. And so then they click from that ad, that sponsored content, and go over to your website to read that content. And now once I have that, I've now cookied them for other websites they visit. You know, I can use my Google Pixel and follow them around in Google, and I can use my Facebook Pixel and follow them now on Facebook. And so really it's just like another fishing pole out in the ocean to bring more people into your boat.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it makes so much sense, especially then the remarketing. So then having remarketing set up, which we have a show also on Pick of the Bunch on the podcast all about that strategy. And it's you basically what you say is you now have more touch points out there with people that potentially could be interested in what you've got. And the more that you can reach them and the more that they see you around rather than you chasing them, but they actually suddenly see you, it's more like rather than hunting, you actually attract people.
Right.
The more your business will grow.
Yes. And so I would use content campaigns. And when I say a content campaign, like we do a $25 a day ad budget. It's not a lot of money that we're spending there. You know, it's just enough to fuel so that content can be seen by more people. Mm-hmm. And that when they see it and like it or heart it and then retweet it, then that brings me even more people. And that's what the goal of the campaign really is to do. It's just to give me more reach for that content and then pull them back in.
Yeah. And when you talk about budget, I'm glad that you mentioned that because a lot of listeners would go, oh, how much do I need to spend? The $25 per day, is that used for one piece of content that you're sharing or across different campaigns?
Most of the time we're rotating content. So like we'll launch a new blog post every week. And so we'll have content that's already done well in the past. And then we have new content coming out. And so what we'll do is we'll rotate between those ad campaigns and turn them on and turn them off based on, you know, something new came out on Monday. So I'm going to pause my campaign, put the new one on, see how that attracts for the next few days. And then later in the week, I'll switch back to the old one. Because if you can rotate through them, you keep the ads fresh. You know, it's not like they're seeing the same content over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So if you're just adding one new ad campaign each week, and then you can rotate between them every day, then the ad that they see in their feed is always like, man, this company is always putting out fresh mm-hmm. content. Mm-hmm. You know, like they just see more content from you. And so then they like that and it attracts more to
That's
your site.
That's so genius. I love that strategy. Now, one of the most important pieces to be successful, obviously, on Twitter or any channel, Facebook, anywhere, is the creative that you put out there. So the imagery and the copy. What sort of tips do you have for our listeners when it comes to writing the copy? Obviously, it's very short copy, and also mm-hmm. imagery, and maybe some examples even of your best campaigns.
I would say imagery. So we use this cool, the best tip I can give you right now is we use this tool called Pixlr. We take any ad we create and we throw it into Pixlr. It's pixlr.com/express. And then once I pop my ad in there, I'm going to go to the contrast option and I'm going to boost the contrast to like 30 or 40, depending on what color you choose. But a high contrast image just is so bold on a screen. And not a lot of people are using that technique in their ads. So like they may have vibrant colors in their ads, but when you increase the contrast of the ad, it just pops. It's hard to explain without seeing an ad in person. That's one tip. That's actually what we teach all our media buyers.
I love that. I think you could even put your image through your Instagram filter and just increase the contrast on
Instagram does the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah. So I love that because you can sort of turn, sometimes what I do if I need to sort of enhance an image for a campaign, I just turn my phone onto airplane mode.
Right, and then you just boost it up and it just works. It just attracts the eye.
I love that tip. So increase the contrast. I love that.
Yep. And then as far as choosing imagery, that's always the hardest thing to mm-hmm. teach because everyone has their own personal graphics, their graphic taste. But what we do is we have this exercise called Hell Island and Heaven Island. And what we do is when we're trying to target someone, we think about, well, what's their Hell Island? Like, what would be the worst thing they'd always want to avoid? You know, like that mm-hmm. maybe it's something they're dealing with now, you know, like for balding people, it's, you know, seeing the hair fall out in the brush, right? That's like Hell Island for them. Mm-hmm. But for Heaven Island, you want to see like, what would be the most ideal thing? Like what's the imagery? Because people aspire to a lot in their head that they never verbalize to you. And so if you can pinpoint that in your research and you can have a picture of Heaven Island to them and it's depicted in your image, then that's going to pique their interest. And so you either want to have ad copy that says avoid X, Y, and Z, which is their Hell Island, or you want to have now you can, and it's an imagery that takes them towards their Heaven Island. Does that make sense?
That is awesome. And that gives so many ideas to our listeners. Again, two types of campaigns, either the pain. So what's the worst thing? Avoid.
Yeah, and that content would be on avoiding it. Yep.
Yeah, or the best thing that can ever happen to them. So a positive desire.
Yes, definitely.
Do you use your own images only, or what sort of platforms do you use to find that type of image?
A lot of times I like to make them in Canva. So that's super easy, and it's easy to find graphics in there. And it's a free tool, canva.com. And then when we're buying images, because with paid ads, you want to own the rights to use that image.
Yeah.
So we use Shutterstock. Mm-hmm. And PhotoDune. PhotoDune recently increased their prices. They used to be $1 an image for the ad size you need.
Amazing.
But they recently changed and they're now like 4 to 7. So it's probably better to go with Shutterstock that gives you like X amount of downloads per month for a flat fee. And so that's what we go with now. And so we use those, or 123RF. Those are normally ones where we can always find either an illustration or an image that doesn't feel too stockish. You know,
like, that's the key.
You
want to
avoid stock.
Yeah, you want to look differently. Yeah. What about then because you only have so that's in terms of imagery, but also in terms of copy, you pretty much already gave your tips. Just either do the pain or the pleasure and just a short sentence.
Right. Yeah. Because you only have the 140 characters. Mm-hmm. And so one tip here is if you're going to put any text in your ad, like in the image, don't let it duplicate the text that you're saying in your, you see it a lot actually. And so like people will share on Twitter, like new blog post, here's the topic. Mm-hmm. And then the image will be the same headline the headline of the post, but you really don't like, you're losing valuable space there where you could in your image, put the headline of your post. And then in your 140 characters, put the benefit of what they'll get out of that post.
That's actually a really smart strategy. You recommend putting text over image?
Yeah, just we follow the same. So we do most of our advertising split between Facebook and Twitter. And then we do native advertising like Taboola. And so I don't want my graphic designer spending all day creating a ton of different images for all these networks. I needed to have a streamlined process. And so with the Facebook 20% text rule, The size and shape of that ad is actually very similar to the size and shape of the web card ad inside Twitter.
Yeah.
And so we're sort of using the same image, just a different size. You see what I'm saying? And so if I tell him, oh, no headline on this one, but a headline on this one. And then, oh, for Taboola, I need a 300 by 250. Like it starts to get really complicated. And we just streamline the process so that each ad gets the headline of the article. And then the post text, which is the 140 characters, has the benefit of what they get out of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And do you put any call to action? Do you say click here to read, or it's really just avoid the 10 mistakes balding guys make?
Nope. Read more, learn more, always have a call to action.
Great.
Because people will read it and keep scrolling, but it's a subconscious trigger to click the read more or read more here or learn more here.
Love
text.
It. That's, you are full of wisdom. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm sure our listeners are like as excited as I am, hopefully. Now, the next most important thing. So the creative is hugely important, creative being the imagery and the copy, the text. But then secondly, you mentioned in the beginning, the targeting is so important. Have you got any ninja tricks here? Can you please share your ninja tricks?
My favorite is the targeting down to the person. You know, like, yeah, you can do interest targeting, and definitely, like, for sure, 100%, when you sign up to Twitter to do ads, set up the custom audience feature. I'm pretty sure it's called custom audience there. They might call it something else, but everyone calls it something else, right? So with Google, it's called remarketing. With Facebook, it's called custom audiences. And I'm pretty sure it's still called custom audiences inside Twitter. But you're looking for a way to create a pool of people that have been to your site that you can advertise on Twitter, right? So you just want to start that immediately.
Straight away.
And then the next thing would be to have a campaign that targets your competitors. That's the easiest one. So your content is always showing in front of your content, your competitors' fans. And then another campaign would be based on keywords related. So like, for example, we once did one, I had an advertorial writing service. So you need advertorial content to run native ads. And so anyone talking about native ads on Twitter would be someone that would need advertorials. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we advertise to the keywords of native advertising, native ads, Taboola, Outbrain. And so like those are all keywords or interests based around that niche.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Would you do different types of campaigns, three campaigns, one just to test the audiences, one interest, one targeting your competitors' fans, and then one keywords?
Yes. So they all have different purposes. With retargeting, you're just trying to get them back to your site again, which I might even, if they've already been to your site once, then show them your special offer. You know, maybe it's a lead gen or maybe it's something else. But with my audience, like when I'm targeting my competitors and when I'm targeting based on the topic, I sort of want to know which one of those is sending me the most leads and sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they're all piled together into one campaign, you don't really know which one's working for you.
Yeah.
And so that's why I split them out, because there's sort of two categories of interests. It's people that like your competitors and people that like your niche.
So
by splitting them out, you might find that your competitors get you more leads, whereas the niche gets you more traffic. I'm not saying that that's going to be the case. I'm just saying like that could happen. Mm-hmm. Then you have to decide, well, is it more valuable for us to continue getting traffic and retargeting them, or is it more valuable for us just to get leads right now? And that really is dependent on your mm-hmm. business and how important content marketing is into that process.
Exactly. And it's really all about testing and then checking it. All these platforms have such great analytics in there that you can really just see exactly where your dollar is going and how much you're making or not making, how much something is costing you.
Right. And so then you just go through and you cut out what's not working. Mm-hmm. And I would even say, like, once you identify, so let's say it's the competitor's one that really knocked it out of the park and sent a bunch of traffic. So then I would cut the other one for now. You can test something later, but increase your budget on the next one. And so when we have a successful campaign, an aggressive increase would be to increase it 100% every week until it stops working for you. So if I start spending $25 a day and it's getting me everything I wanted out of that campaign, I'll increase it to $50 a day. Mm-hmm. And then I'll increase it to 100. And I keep doing that until I start to lose my traffic and my conversions. And then I back it back down. But if I'm scared to make that big of a jump, which can happen for a lot of people that are new to paid ads, then I would just suggest a 20% increase week over week until you're more comfortable with the network and spending money with them, because a lot of people can be very intimidated by spending ads online and worry that they won't be profitable. And that would be my recommendation.
Absolutely. We do the same on Facebook too, because you know, with Facebook, again, we set up hundreds of campaigns and then we look at the ones that are working, we increase the budget. And then, as you say, suddenly they stop working because we've exhausted the audience and then Facebook stops showing.
You'll start to see the frequency start hiking up there and you're like, all right, I need to back down because now they're showing my ad too much, which is now making people angry. And then your conversions will start to fall. And so then when you back it back down, you find that balance of mm-hmm. how much money can you spend without being too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I like to keep the campaigns.
What sort of frequency do you look at? What do you like? When do you stop?
You like it under two. When it starts to peak over two, you're just showing it so much that mm-hmm. you'll either burn out your ad, which will then stop performing, which then means your click-through rate goes through your cost per click goes through the roof. So mm-hmm. that's where the high click costs come in. And so then you have to either create more ads faster or create more content faster. So you're giving yourself more work pretty much.
Yeah.
And so if you can keep your frequency at that 1.5, 1.8, but once it crosses over 2, that's normally when we start to see things just need more attention.
Yeah, I agree. That's fantastic. Now to finish up, can you share some of your all-time favorite campaigns or maybe one campaign that comes to mind that did really well, that you thought, wow, this went so well, and what was it, and maybe even the type of creative?
So in the agency world, we ran a paid ad agency where we did this for clients, right? And so we thought about, you know, what would be the type of content that's going to get all of the competitors riled up and wanting to call me, so that I can do their ad campaigns for them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we did paid ads in the financial market. So most of the companies we worked with either taught about finance or taught about stocks or had a stock software or anything like that. Sorry, I forgot to mute my phone. So we wrote this post, which sort of broke down everything one of like the top dogs in the industry is called Fisher Investments here in the States, which will probably be different for all of your Australian audience. But Fisher Investments teaches you how to invest, right? And then they also have a side of their company that does investing for you. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we used our awesome spy tools to break down where were they advertising, how much were they spending, what did their ads look like all of the details. Mm-hmm. And so we put it in a blog post and we said, oh, if you're looking for campaigns that do all of these things, call us. And it was a call to action at the end, really just to get us leads so that we could do campaigns.
Yeah.
And so we've had the agency closed for a little over a year now, and I still get a call almost weekly about somebody that wants to hire us to do ads from that one blog post we wrote 2 years ago, maybe three years ago.
Yeah, it's still generating leads.
And all we did was we wrote a blog post and then we put $25 in Twitter, $25 in Facebook, $25 in Taboola, and we just kept that ad running, right? And so that increased our SEO, that increased our awareness to that audience all across the web. It increases our retargeting pool. And so now, like, we use that budget back then to grow that article and get leads back then. But now, because that article was so successful, it ranked in the search engines and now continues to get us leads, even though we no longer have that business.
Yeah. That is amazing.
That's what I love about advertising. And that's really where it helps smaller businesses fuel long-term success. Like, yeah, you can spend money to send people to a lead gen page any day. But anyone that doesn't convert, you have to hope you convert on the pixel that you create in your retargeting campaign, right? But if you're doing content, if you're advertising content, you're not only getting leads now and you're creating your retargeting list, but you're also increasing your SEO and long-term success of your content. So that's my favorite campaign, to be honest with you.
I love that. It's so smart. It's so clever. You have so many amazing ideas when it comes to basically media buying. You've also got a course, a Twitter course, that has been getting so much great feedback. So maybe we'll share a link with our listeners in case they want to check it out. It's only – how much does it cost? It's really cost-effective too.
No, we like to keep all our courses super easy for anyone to get started. It's $99, but I'll even give your audience 20% off. So I'll give you a coupon code that you can link below the video so that way they can get it even cheaper, because, you know, we really believe in just teaching people how to do good marketing, and there's not a lot of great content out there for that. And so, yeah, I'm happy to share it with your audience.
Thank you so much. And the link for our listeners to make it easy, we'll use basicbananas.com/Twitter. And that will send you to the page where you can look at the course and get it if you want to learn more about Twitter and Twitter advertising. Thank you so much again, Joanna.
No problem. Anytime you want to have me on, I'm happy to help.
No, I'll have you back for sure, because I know you're really good at media buying across different media channels. So you are
back. It's my favorite thing to talk about too.
I can tell. Thanks again.
No problem. Have a great day.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.